So open your Bibles, if you would, to John 15. John 15, I have literally worn out the pages of John 15 in at least four Bibles. Everyone should have your life chapter, your life verse, your life section. John 15 is home to me. It's home to me. And we must remember that that context is king. We must remember that. Context is king. When we read any part of the Bible, we must know the big picture. What's happening? What were the circumstances? Where was he aiming at? And this has it all set up for us. That this was not a fireside chat. This wasn't just a little off the cuff, we're walking along and oh, by the way, kind of discussion. No, this was the, capital T, Last Supper. This would be the last time that he had these beloved disciples right there in the same room. 11 of them. Judas is gone. He's gone to start the ball rolling for the avalanche that was brutal and cruel, and may I say it, so strong, wrong. This was a scandalous night. This was the beginning of evil unleashed in its purest form, and all 100% aimed at Jesus, the Savior of the world. Well, Jesus had his own goal and targets also. And what was he aiming at? Each and every one of us. And there's not one of us who hasn't faced a storm that was bigger than us. Not one of us that has not faced wrong or hurt or something that was threatening to take us down. And basically, what Jesus explains to them and what they watched him do was take the bullet. And so he just imparts some life lessons here that should make us tremble. Tremble. I mean, it should just make us tremble. It certainly is. Fasten your seatbelts. Yeah, fasten your seatbelts. And as we look at the storm that's coming, he was preparing them. And for all of us, I don't know what we're going to face. I don't know what we're going to face. Sometimes you wake up and it's a perfectly good day. And then something comes in out of left field and just wrecks it. Just absolutely decimates it. I think I've told this story before. I was in Northern California speaking at a conference, staying at my friend's house, and she needed to take me down to SAC the next morning to catch a plane home because I was going to teach in this very sanctuary. And we got in her little VW bug, and it was lightning and thunder, and the wind so strong that when we got in the freeway, the little bug was going like this. I mean, it was, wow. But I said, I got to go home. I mean, I don't have a sub today. So got on the plane. Everyone was wondering why, because they were looking at the storm. And then we started going down the runway. And we thought, is he really going to take off? And we took off. But we barely got to altitude before the plane was going like this. Like really like that. I'd never been on a plane like that. And I had specifically chosen to sit in the very back row by a man that looked like he would never want to talk to me because I needed to complete my message and just go over it. And so I sat by this young, you know, kind of hip cool guy, and about 5 minutes into this and that, I just couldn't resist. I just leaned over to him and said, "You ever think about dying?" And really, I was not afraid. I was not afraid. Because, you know, the dying day, I mean, that's not the worst day in your life. Good golly, that's the glory. That's the glory day when we, and you know, I don't mind dying, but it's just the process. You know, I'm going to have a long dying if I'm going to die. I just like to die. You know, let's just die. Well, so I looked at that guy, cool hab guy. He was as white as a sheet. I said, you ever think about dying? He said, yeah, right now. And I said, do you know what happens 1 minute after you die? What does happen? And the events that would take place just right after this conversation would seal the deal for us, would seal the deal for eternity for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But in the meantime, how are we going to survive the hard things that come down the road to us? How? You know, that's a really big question. And Jesus said, quite frankly, abide in me. Let me read it to you. If you have your Bibles open, which I really would love for you to do. He said, I am the true vine. True is the opposite of what? False, artificial, temporary. We need to contrast things and know that sometimes the things that we attach ourselves to or the people or the hopes that we attach to us are just a weak thread that can snap in a moment. He's giving us the mother load. The source, he said, it's me. I'm the vine and you are the branches. And my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear what? More fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. And the Bible says that we're washed by the water of the word. It has a power. It's not verses and words on the and nice sayings. We're spiritually set free. We're washed by the word. You are clean because of that. And then he's the look on his face. I cannot just see it. I can feel. As he looked at each one of these precious men who he had poured out his life to. And truthfully, they had paid a price too. There wasn't one of those 11 guys left in the room that hadn't sacrificed something. Dropped their entire identity. They had grown up of being a fisherman, that their father had expected them to step into those shoes. But with one call from God, they had dropped that, left that behind, and become somebody else. Each one of them in their own way. He loved them. He loved them. They meant the world to him, and he to them. This was the source of life. I am the vine. You are the branches. And again, his destiny for each one of them was now being explained, that they were to be an extension of him. They were to not only represent him, that the flow of his life would go so much into them that lives would be changed by them. And I believe that these words are recorded and they're read a letter because they're to speak to each one of us. We are exactly in that position. For many of you, you're maybe the only Jesus that somebody knows at work and maybe in your family. I don't have Neither of my sisters walk with the Lord. My sister right now, she's had a kind of a nervous breakdown. And she's my older sister. You know, you don't expect your older sister to have breakdowns. You know, my entire childhood, she was the boss of me. If she said jump, I said, how high? She had this habit of counting to 10. If she asked me to go get her a Coke or something, and she would start counting methodically. And by the time she got to 5, I was out of my seat to get whatever she wanted. She was the boss of me. But now, in her life, her husband had has a serious health issue. And she had a nervous breakdown. He does the bills. He takes care of, you know, the yard. She was a mayor of her city. But he took care of everything at home. Now, at this point in her life, it's like the rug is pulled out from under her. And what does she have now? And you know what? I have a visit. I'm visiting her on Friday. I'm going to tell her, girl, you need Jesus. I've told her that many times. But this time she's got nothing else as her foundation. And this is such a powerful thing. In verse 5, he says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast as a branch and is withered. Now, I'm a gardener. I don't know how many of you are gardeners. I know Leslie is. Yeah, some of you, Terry. And if you've never gardened, if you don't have pruning shears, if you never really invest in your plants and interact with your plants, this is all new information. But the truth is that we must prune our rose bushes. We must. And the first rose bush I had many years ago, it bloomed a couple roses and grew and did okay the second year. Third year, it was ugly. It was all gangly and, you know, leaves were yellow. And it was ugly. And I remember one day I was reading John 15. And I felt like the Lord just gave me such purpose, and I almost heard his voice say, Debbie, I want you to go out and prune your rose bush. And I said, Lord, right now? Well, sure. So I had been reading a garden book to kind of, I better learn, kind of read up on this. And so I did. I went in obedience and got my shears and stood over that rose, gangly, ugly little thing that was, it was a climber, so branches went here and there, and I took my clippers, 5 minutes, that which was going 3 foot there, that way, 3 foot that way, was down to nubs, about this big. Yeah, it was a violent day in his life, violent, and probably if it had a voice, it would have screamed. Cutting a little too close here. But, you know, I'm the boss of that rose bush. So I did it. And then I thought, well, we'll see how that works. Interesting story, and I've probably shared this before, that within several days, I was working in a position in ministry, in a ministry that I really loved. And the leader called me into her office and said, Debbie, I'm going to relieve you of your ministry because there's somebody else I need to put into that place. And I behaved. I didn't throw a tantrum. it was hard. I could see perfectly the logic, and I was on board with the logic of it. It was just it was a moment. That's all I can say. Well, I drove home, and I had a talk with God, and I said, Lord, if you're in this, help me walk it out. And so I drove home, went directly to my backyard, stood over that pitiful little trim to the nub rose bush, and we bonded. We bonded. And I became very interested in the future hope of that little rose bush. And truthfully, in the next few months, it was almost spring. When springtime came, the little yellow leaves and, you know, bony branches didn't come in the spring. It went like that. All the energy from that plant went into this marvelous specimen, and the roses that year were amazing. Not a lot of them, but the roses were gorgeous. In my life, the Lord opened doors within 2 months for ministry that I had never even dreamed of. Didn't sign up for, I didn't ask for, didn't feel like qualified, still don't. The Lord has purpose for your life. He has purpose for you. You are valuable. Trust him when he allows things to not go as you have perfectly ordered in your perfectly little ordered plot of life. He can use many things. This week, truthfully, has been one of the hardest weeks. Well, this month has been hard. My husband had quadruple bypass surgery. They break your chest. Did you know that? They break your chest bones so they could get in there and take a vein from your leg and give you new roots for blood. I mean, and then they put metal clamps to put the bones back together. Not minor surgery. So that's big. And then another disaster happened that was layers of hard, where we own a little rental house and a huge disaster of fire, smoke in every room. So that, my fingernails don't look so good, but cleaning up that mess. But you know what? When you don't know what to do, child of God, always remember where to go. Say that with me. When you don't know what to do, that's right. That's right. You know? And it's not a go to jail. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. I've gotten that ticket in Monopoly, haven't you? And that's what the devil will say. Oh, you loser, go to jail. No one loves you. Everyone hates you. Just go out and eat worms. And you know what? If the enemy can get in your head, he'll get in your heart. And he'll stop ruling you. And he will become the boss of you through your own emotions. All the water, no matter how hard it tried, could never sink a ship unless it gets inside. This is a very personal conversation. If you abide in me, and that's a big if, and it's a big invitation. With these words, Jesus is saying, won't you trust me? Won't you know that I'm in this with you? Do you remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? You know, those guys were in a very unfair situation. They were taken away from their home country, put in a foreign land. But in each moment, they were faithful, they were faithful, they were faithful, and served that nation well. But then the instant came where a big statue was built, and they were supposed to bow down and worship. And you know what? They said, we can be a good citizen, but we're just going to say no to that. We're just going to say no to that. Well, the threat was, if you don't, it's dangerous. You'll get thrown into that fire furnace. They did say no, and they did get thrown, as we know, into the mist. And it was stoked 7 times hotter. But then they said, oh, Mo, look at that. I see 1, 2, 3. 3 men were thrown in. But who's the fourth one? Who's the fourth one in that fire? They were walking around in the fire. And they said, pull these guys out. And you know what? When they were pulled out of that fire, their hair wasn't singed. And they didn't smell like smoke. This is a hard world for some of you. It's harder than hard right now. If you look at your past, some unfair things have happened to you. And you know what? Things will either make you bitter or better. Bitter or better. And our great privilege is to bear fruit. To bear fruit. To cling to Him for dear life. And sometimes that's all we have. And as Corrie Ten Boom said, you'll never know. You'll never know that Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. I'd like you to write down 3 things that you feel like that the Lord is saying to these disciples, but to you. What is He saying to you this morning? Okay, I'm just going to add 1 more layer on top of it. As He's explaining, the stakes are high for you. But child of God, the stakes are high for others. God is intentional about using you. Listen very carefully to what He says. I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, what? You can do nada. If anyone does not abide in me, listen to this. If anyone does not abide in me, what does it say? He is cast out. Some versions say they cast him out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. What meaneth that? Who are the they that gather up the dead branches and throw them into the fire? Truthfully, it's your neighbor. It's your kids. It's those people in your family that you're talking up Jesus. But when tough times come, do they see the fruit? Do they see the fruit? Do they see real evidence? You living out the life of Jesus and responding to things with trust and peace and hope? Or do they see you crumpling or being bitter or being mean? The high stakes. We have the privilege of bringing people to taste and see that He is good. Or we can have the potential of people going, spitting it out. Spitting it out from our testimony. A privilege, an opportunity, a responsibility, a call. A call. And again, if you're in a hard moment, what He's saying, we'll get through this. He's not saying, you just go and start being good. Pull it together, you loser. Make it up. No, He's saying, we'll get through this. We will treat your husband nice. We will, you and me, little wife. We'll get through this. Or the prodigal son, or the naughty neighbor, or the tough boss. He's saying, we'll get through this. You and me, let's be one in this. We'll get through this. I'm telling you, this is rocket science. I mean, this is the mother lode. This should be the love of your life and the passion of being a Christian. Is it, he doesn't just pat him on the head and say, go out and be good. He says, let's do it together. Let's do it together. So I'd like you to just, with me, bow your head. And maybe you have a pile of disappointments, and who doesn't? Maybe you're feeling very, very weak. Like, how can I really shine the light when I'm weak? Who doesn't feel that way? Lord, we just hold up the hard things. The hard things. And Lord, we want to honor you. You took the bullet for us intentionally. We know you won't leave us now. Lord, help us to, in those tough moments, to throw up an arrow prayer and ask for your grace. Throw up an arrow prayer in that moment. God, what should I say? Help my emotions calm down. Lord, we just want to live this out to your glory. We want to see people through our lives taste and see that you are good. And so we pray these things in Jesus' name. And they all said, amen. God bless you.